Hosanna. For there is a promise of a world to come. We hold on to that in the midst of many struggles. Today's story from Scripture tells us about Jesus meeting a need in his day. Kind of a foretaste of what will be. Starts out on an ordinary day. People who are hungry. Disciples like us who don't think there's going to be enough, right? So I turn your attention now to the story about the feeding of the 5,000 as is told in the Gospel of John. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" Jesus said this to test Philip, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get even a little." One of Jesus' other disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in this place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. And then Jesus took the loaves, and when he'd given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, and also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. And when the people saw the signs that Jesus had done, they began to say, This is indeed the prophet who has come into this world. And when Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh God, thank you for this scripture, for this music this day, for the inspiration of being together. Fill us this morning, body, mind, and spirit. Fill us with all that we need to be your faithful disciples in this world. Amen. I'm one of the few people I ever knew who loved word problems in math. I couldn't figure out a geometry problem to save my life, but give me a story to figure out, and I was all in. I think buried in the gospel lesson this morning is a word problem. Jesus gives a pop quiz of sorts. So this crowd has gathered. We're told that they've heard that Jesus heals the sick. That's so often the setup in these stories, that people come to Jesus or they bring someone to Jesus because they're physically ill. I want to remember that the people in Jesus' day, like us, had people they loved and even themselves who were physically ill and they wanted to draw close to Jesus. So that's the setup for this story. And Jesus sees this crowd and they're hungry and they're weary. And he looks to Philip, his disciple, and he presents this word problem. There are 5,000 people here, hungry people, I might add, and they have no food. 5,000 people, they're hungry, have no food. Where are we going to buy bread for them to eat? I can kind of imagine Philip. I'm thinking maybe he's the one who's like a person that wants to write everything down and figure things out. He's that kind. And I can sort of envision him feverishly scribbling some figures, while if you've ever been in a classroom where a question's been asked, the other disciples are looking away or looking down, hoping Jesus won't call on them, right? And then finally, Philip declares, I've got it. 6 months' ages won't give enough money to give people even a little bit to eat. That was what his problem solving led to. Okay, that's one answer, but it's not the right one. But there's the other disciples there, and Andrew tries a different solution. He doesn't look to find where the nearest grocery store is, or he doesn't pull out the disciple checkbook to find out how much their balance is. He looks around. And I can sort of imagine Andrew thinking to himself, now maybe this is a dumb answer, but I guess it's better than nothing. So Andrew motions to a boy that he's seen over in the crowd, and he says, there's this little boy over here, and he's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. But then while he's talking, he realizes how ridiculous that is. Like right while he's saying it. You know, if you've ever offered a solution, but while you're talking, you realize it's really kind of dumb. And so his very next statement is, but what is that among so many people? Right, Jesus? What good would that do? Well, you heard the rest of the story. Maybe you've even known it for a long time. Jesus takes these loaves. He gives thanks. He passes them out. He repeats this with the fish. And everyone has more than their fill. You know, that's that extravagant part of that story. Not does everybody just have enough to keep them going. We're told that after everyone's been fed, they have 12 baskets of leftovers. Andrew pointed out a possibility. He had an answer and even apparently felt a little foolish offering it. How would this boy's lunch possibly provide for a massive crowd? He must have thought, surely I failed that exam, that word problem. I didn't get it, but it turns out that he did. It turns out that what Andrew offered with that boy was all that Jesus needed. Jesus didn't need a perfect answer. He didn't need a perfect mathematical formula. He didn't need a market or anyone with the most anything, the most talent, the top shelf chef, the best event coordinator. All he needed was a disciple who pointed out a possibility even when the disciple was uncertain. Incredible, right? An uncertain disciple, maybe like you and me, with an idea that doesn't seem that great, but maybe Jesus, a savior, looking for somebody to give something a shot. Again, and this is for us, not somebody who's perfect, not somebody who has it all together, not somebody who always has the right answer. Jesus takes the uncertain disciple, willing to voice the ridiculous possibility, and turns the possibility into an abundant reality. I read a story. It comes from Reverend Andrew Whaley, who's the pastor of the Raleigh Court Presbyterian Church in Roanoke, Virginia. A story about his church. Reverend Whaley writes this. I remember the Sunday Bill stood up to give the minute for mission about tutoring at a local after-school program. Until I saw his name in the bulletin, I had no idea he even did that, and I was his pastor. Bill was 70 years old, a retired financial advisor. As far as I knew, he had no background in education. And here he was at the lectern, talking about how he'd signed up as a tutor and met with 2 little boys each week. They'd read to him. He read to them. They reviewed flashcards together. And then lo and behold, Bill starts crying at the middle of worship in a Presbyterian church. He talked about how the boys had nicknamed him, how they hugged him when he arrived. He said, I don't know if I've made any difference in their lives, but they've surely changed mine. And there it was, an older man, a financial advisor, retired with no education experience whatsoever, weeping in front of this congregation about what could happen when giving some time and attention to care for these at-risk elementary school students. Jesus, we're told, took the loaves. It didn't seem enough, but it was. And Jesus took 2 hours from Bill's week in his heart and his attention. And he didn't think it was enough, but it was. And then there's this story about Miss Jamma in a church in East Tennessee, who every Sunday morning pulls up to the front door and has 2 teenage boys help her carry into the church 2 giant vases of flowers from her back seat. They're filled with flowers from her farm from spring until frost. Those flowers grace the sanctuary. They're wild flowers. They don't take much tending. She's no master gardener. She's never made a living as a florist. Often she complains as the boys are bringing in the flowers that they didn't turn out just how she wanted them. Maybe some might call them glorified weeds. She always says, well, you could find these anywhere. Nothing special. But those 2 vases grace the altar of that small Tennessee church every single Sunday. We're reminded, right? Jesus took the loaves. And in this case, Jesus takes the flowers grown in love and committed each Sunday to the glory of God. You know, this Thursday, those of us who are able are going to meet in Miller Parlor to plan for ministry, to look ahead for our life here at Stone this fall. We're not going to meet in committees or teams or boards. You don't have to be a member here to be part of this gathering. It's anybody who wants to come, who says, you know, I got an idea. I've got a way I could help. I'm concerned about something in the community or in the church, and I don't know what to do about it. Seems kind of late, right? Seems like we should have done this months ago. That's what I feel like. How are we possibly planning for September when it's already going to be the first week of August? Maybe we're not as young as we were. We're not as resourceful as we need to be. We don't have, right? We're kind of like those disciples. I don't know, Jesus. How are we going to feed all those people? But Jesus did it, right? He took the simplest gift that was offered, which did not even seem like enough, and made it more than enough. Because he does that. He continues to do that in the spirit that lives among us. This very one, Jesus, who we now know as the living Christ, will use whatever we offer. We'll use whatever we offer for the good of God's people, to take care of our community and the world, to transform, to make a miracle. To make a miracle. I believe that. Now, I'm not quite sure how it's going to work out yet. I'm a little bit like Andrew that's like, we've got something here, Jesus, but I don't know, is this going to be enough? And so we're going to trust. We are going to completely trust that it will be enough. Our time, our energy, our love, our efforts, our spirit, our financial gifts, we're going to give it to Jesus, and Jesus will make it enough. So let's just stop. Let us just stop and offer this to God at this time. Oh God, receive what we have to offer. Receive it even when we're unsure that it will do any good, that it will ever be enough. For we have seen that when you take an offering, any offering, you multiply it in such a way as to satisfy the hungers of aching souls here and everywhere. So we thank you for that gift, and we give ourselves to you and to your work in the world this day. Amen.